I too would like to greet you this evening in the precious name of Jesus. I have appreciated the service so far, the singing and the scripture and the prayer time. I again was encouraged and impressed and blessed by being in the prayer service. I thank you all for your investment in this week of meetings through your many prayers. I believe that God has heard our prayers. And as I have sensed, Spirit of God has moved in our hearts this week. And I would like to tonight encourage all of us that have indicated needs in our life. One good way to follow through with these commitments is to share those things that you're committing with someone else. I just encourage you in that. And it's a blessing to have somebody praying for you and encouraging you and keeping you accountable. It's a good support. And it helps us to follow through our commitments with victory. God bless you in that. A couple of faces here tonight I've not seen before. Most of you are starting to look really familiar. Alan's neighbor, Harold, it's good to see you here. And a young man by the name of Keith Hartman is here tonight. A little bit of Traverse City here. And it's good to see you, Keith. And this is now your home. We lose, they win. And so, but it's good to see you here tonight. All right, our theme verses are taken out of Jeremiah chapter 9. I invite you to turn to them. And if it's convenient for you, if you want to stand to your feet. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24, let us read these together. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God says to his people, he said to his people all through the ages, I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your power. I don't need your riches. But God said, what I really delight in is when you give yourself to me. This week we are asking ourselves this question, how much of me does God have? Thank you. You may be seated. So I've been thinking all day about what I'm going to share with you tonight, and you don't have a clue what I'm going to share. Sometimes that's not quite fair, because we preachers expect you to jump right on and be right with us. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction. I would like for you tonight to think about roads. I'm not talking about James Roads, okay? I'm talking about the road out here. What is this, Briary Branch Road? Is that what this is? I'm talking about roads. I'd like for you to think about roads. And I would like to draw you into this message by asking you a question. And I invite you to respond. This is a non-biblical question, and so I expect a non-biblical response. There's no trick to this. My question is, what favorite road do you like to drive on or to travel on? And why is it a favorite road? Anything real quick off the top of your head. Do you have a favorite road you like to drive on?
Corridor H.
Okay, and why?
It's just an engineering feat.
Okay. Anything that gets rid of some of these twists and turns is great. All right. Anyone else? A favorite road that you like to drive on?
Route 259 from Broadway to Baker.
Why? Okay, very good. Does anybody have a personal unique road that you drove on or have driven on that you've enjoyed? A unique road?
$1 million highway.
Where's that?
Out from Silverton to Colorado.
Okay.
That was a very scary road for me.
Okay. All right. Well, we're thinking about roads, and I appreciate that response. If I was to ask you for least favorite roads, and I'm not trying to knock your country here, but I've been on 33, and like my wife says, never again. But the rest of your country here I like. Like I say, it's a little like Florida without gators and snakes. I really like it here. So, the title of the message tonight is The Wrong Road. And I have a road that I want to talk about tonight, and we're going to get there in a little bit. But I like to go to Scripture. The Scripture talks about roads, and Isaiah chapter 11 is where I like to start. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 16, and I love this verse here in the Old Testament. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. God tells us there will be a highway for the remnant of his people, just like back when his people were in Egypt. And they were in bondage. And it looked impossible. And how are they ever going to get out? God said, I provided a way out for them. I provided a road. And a beautiful road it was that God made for his people to come out of Egypt. And he said, just like it was back then, there will be a highway for the people today, for you. And sometimes we can get discouraged. And we've talked about this a bit this week. You can go to, in Traverse City, you go to Walmart. And you just sit and watch the people. It's discouraging, folks, isn't it? It is discouraging to see how the world is falling apart and how heathen American has become. And sometimes Karen will make comments to me about, like, she cares about our children, our grandchildren. What are our grandchildren going to have to face in the years to come? And I say tonight, here is a verse. There is a highway for the remnant of God's people, friends. There is a way out. God has a plan, and I am so thankful for that tonight. Now, same book, chapter 35. Chapter 35, I have Isaiah, verse 8, 9, and 10. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And that word way there means road. And a road, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Again, God says, there's going to be a highway. There's going to be a way, a road, a way of holiness. And it's for those, and he uses some terminology here that to us maybe seems a little bit hard to understand or backward. He says, though fools shall not err therein, in the eyes of the world, we may look like fools for walking the straight and narrow way, but we are not fools. We are God's people, the ransom, and he talks about this highway, and there's no ravenous beast there, no lions, but the redeemed shall walk there, and they're going to travel that highway singing the songs of Zion as they march home. Beautiful picture. And now let's go to Proverbs, and I'm going to ask all the men on the men's side to go Proverbs 14, verse 12, and the ladies, if you would go to Proverbs 16, verse 25. Then Proverbs 14, 12. And the ladies, Proverbs 16, 25. And I'd like for you to read that in unison. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to read it together. The ladies are going to read their verse the same time you're reading your verse, okay? Here we go. There is
a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are ways of death.
Exactly the same verse, two different places. I could tell in your faces you weren't sure how that was going to work out. But it worked out. Now, God's word says, there's a wrong road. There's a road, a way, a road which seems right unto men, but it is the wrong road. And the reason that it is a wrong road, it says, the end of that road thereof are the ways of death. So here is a road that ends wrong. It ends in eternal death. Roads, and I know the roads I'm talking about tonight have an end. And maybe not, I don't know how we would say that about all the roads out here, but the spiritual roads that we're talking about tonight have an end. And this is a bad road. It is a wrong road because it ends at the wrong place. Now, I invite you to Matthew chapter 7. We got Jesus speaking on the Great Sermon on the Mount. He comes near the end of his message in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, and we could probably use the word road, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, road, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus clearly lays out for us two ways. There are two roads. There is a right road, and there is a wrong road. He makes no question about it. That's the way it is. And so, for illustrative purposes tonight, by now you're starting to know me. You know that I preach simply, and I like to have visual things, and I like to be able to see something. So for illustrative purposes tonight, I like to use a couple aisles, if I may, of this sanctuary to illustrate a right road and a wrong road. And so tonight I'm going to just say, so right road, I'm going to choose this road that is on my right. The Bible says the right road is straight and it's narrow. It's not what most people are going to choose. But when you look down that road, all the way down, it ends right. It ends in glory. It ends where Jesus is. And on this road, you focus on Jesus. That's what is at the end of the road. And then tonight, I would like to just use this center aisle as an illustration. This is not true, but I'd like to use the center aisle as an illustration of the wrong road, broad. The broad road. And many people choose to go on the broad road, and it is more pleasing to the flesh, more pleasing to our carnal spirit. And there's a lot of people having fun on that broad road, but remember what I said, fun is only about paper thick. But many cheap people choose the wrong road, but the problem with the wrong road is where it ends. The Bible says that if you follow that road through, it ends in eternity of hell. It's the highway to hell. There's a highway to holiness. There's a highway to hell. Tonight, I would like to focus on another wrong road. It's the road that would take you from the right road to the wrong road. You see, friends, it's possible that we're traveling the right road. It is possible to get off that road and to get onto the wrong road. The message tonight is not necessarily what I would call an evangelistic message to unsaved people, although it could be. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I believe that it could speak to your heart to be saved and get on the right road. But I'm thinking tonight more about a message to saints that are saved, and they're on the highway of holiness. They're on that straight and narrow way. And tonight, I want to encourage you all to stay on that road, to stay on the right road. Stay saved. Now, I believe in eternal security. I believe not unconditional eternal security, but I believe in eternal security as long as we stay on that road and we do not depart from that road, friends, we are saved and we are gloriously saved and we're going to end up in heaven. And I want to encourage you that way tonight. I also want to warn you tonight about a wrong road that goes from the highway of holiness to crosses over to the broad road. The name of this road that I want to talk tonight about is called the Road of Gradualism. Gradualism. It's a wrong road that I want to warn you about this evening. The word gradualism, according to Webster's, means little by little. It would also have the meaning of incremental change. So that means just a little bit of change at a time. It means change so small that you almost don't even notice when it happens. And as I was thinking about that today, I thought about recently Karen was cleaning out our house, or reorganizing, she does, I think you call it, or something. And she got out some old, they're kind of old, wedding pictures. So that means they're, what, honey, that's almost 44 years, right? And so I was looking at this picture of me 44 years ago and what I look like in the mirror today. And you know what? My hair has changed a lot. The quantity of hair has changed. The color of hair has changed. And it's a lot. It's amazing. But you know, I never even noticed when it happened. I didn't even notice. It happens a little tiny bit at a time. But it happened. Another example I thought about recently at home in our garage, I've got rain gutter, and that rain gutter's got a splice in it, and it drips at that splice, and that's annoying to me, but it leaks there. And okay, so it leaks. And so then I noticed after a while that concrete underneath it is getting black. And I didn't like that very good. So one day I went over and I got down and I looked at that black spot. And would you believe it? This is hard concrete. You know, you just about can't damage it. But that little drop, a drop at a time, is wearing a hole in that hard concrete. Just one little incremental bit at a time. Gradually. Gradualism. Well, we are not a rain gutter. We are people, and we are people of generations. And in our country, I suppose all over the world, I don't know, but people are labeled by their generation, and they say that I am of the generation baby boomers, and I don't really care. It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm whoopee-doo, whatever. Hasn't changed my life a bit that I know of. Then I hear of Generation X and Generation Z and Generation Millennials. And then recently, what made me think about this, recently I heard that the latest generation is called the Crisis Generation. It's new, they say. It is a crisis generation. Well, I thought about that. You know what, friends? That is not new. The Crisis Generation has been around ever since Eve gave in to temptation in Genesis chapter 3, and then she went to her husband, and he caved into the temptations. That was the start of the crisis generation, way back then. The warning that I want to give tonight, the warning of the crisis of the wrong road of gradualism, that will take any generation from the right road of the highway of holiness across to the broad road, the highway to hell. And that spiritual crisis doesn't generally happen overnight. It can, but it generally doesn't. And maybe I can illustrate it a bit more to put it in our mind. And so if we are on the highway of holiness, well, let's say this. Here's the highway of holiness, let's say. Let's say that's a broad way. So 1, 2, 3 steps. I'm there. 3 seconds crossed over. That can happen. But that's not generally how it happens. So when we are on the highway of holiness, the first problem that occurs is if we're walking the highway of holiness, our eyes are on Jesus, but we stop. We shouldn't stop, friends. It is never good to stop. When we stop, we're not moving forward. And when we stop, we're not looking at Jesus. And when we stop, we tend to look over on that side, and we see those people that are traveling the broad road, and we start watching them. And what happens when we stop is we generally start moving a little bit. It's really gradual, but just a little bit at a time, an inch by an inch. And we're kind of moving off this highway holiness, and we just keep inching over just a little bit at a time. That's how it works, friends. Slide a little, just a little slide step. That incremental change, you hardly know what's happening. Nobody really notices it. Just gradual. So gradual that nobody really is alarmed about it. You get used to it. And all that time that you're just inching over, just inching off that highway of holiness, you know, we can still smile, we can still hold our Bibles, and we can still wave and say, I love Jesus. And all the while, we're gradually sliding sideways. I'd like to look at a few scriptures that clearly show gradualism in people. I'd like to go back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The church here had a problem. God had a problem with the church of Ephesus. They had left their first love. And I can't say tonight how that all happened. I don't know, but we know that they had it right at some time. Somehow they lost it. They were right. They were on the way to holiness. And it would appear, I can't say it up here, it seems like it was probably something that happened gradually. It would seem that way. Slowly they moved over. All of us here tonight that are born again, we are saved. We can reflect back on our conversion experience. We can reflect back on our commitment. We can reflect back on our baptism vows, where we said we're going to turn our back on the world, and we're going to love God with all of our heart for the rest of our lives. Are we still there tonight? Or have we gradually left that first love? What is my spiritual life like tonight compared to what it was 6 months ago? Or compared to what it was 1 year ago? Or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago? Are we still with our first love? I'd like to look at a specific individual in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver, to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas, the disciple, follower of Jesus, church treasurer, a trusted man in the church, we would say. One of the 12 that Jesus handpicked. He ends up hanging himself. He committed suicide. He murdered himself. How'd that happen? You think that was just one big step from there to there? Is that how that happened? Was he a disciple one day and the next day he was a murderer? I don't think so. I think it was something like this. One little piece of silver. One little piece of silver. He got it in his pocket, and that little piece of silver got into his heart, and then he wanted two pieces of silver, got them in his heart, and three pieces of silver, put that in his heart. And the more silver he put in his heart, the less of Jesus was that was there. But it was just a little bit of time, and he was still a disciple. He was still walking with the other disciples, and it all looked pretty good. And that one little piece of silver added up to 30 pieces of silver. Now all of that was in his heart, and Jesus had to go. One little coin at a time. Gradualism. And up until the last days of his life, he was still identifying with those on the straight and narrow way, even though all those 30 pieces of silver in his pocket, he's still saying, yes, I'm one of them. And he's smiling, I'm one of them. Friends, tonight, as I think about that, the road of gradualism is terribly, terribly dangerous. It's really dangerous. Luke chapter 15, I have another example. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and they took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And I'm going to just stop reading there. I believe that maybe this is one of the most vivid pictures we have in Scripture of a man choosing the wrong road. This poor son, this poor rebel, he chose the wrong road. How can you go from living in a good family with a good mom and dad that care about you and provide for you and are interested in your best, and they bring security into your life and stability and love, they meet your every need. How can you go from that to a pig pen? You know, from that to this, to a pig pen, to the slop and the grime and the rot and the manure and starving to the point that you eat pig's food. How can you get there? Was it just one big bad decision? No. I believe there were small little changes, one at a time. It's called the wrong road of gradualism. I'm now going to read you, because I don't know by heart, a true story. In our lifetime, not too long ago, and I'm borrowing this from Rod and Staff, from a periodical I get from Rod and Staff, but James Martin wrote this, and he said this is written about a brother that he knows, and obviously he had permission. So this is a conservative Mennonite setting. There's a couple that lives in a state out west in the U.S., and they had relatives that wanted to come to visit them from somewhere else. This relatives, this couple flew into the airport, the local airport, and they rented a vehicle. It was, and they arrived at their friend's house. The rented vehicle was an expensive truck equipped for driving in backcountry. Well, the days of their visit came to an end. In the last day of the visit, they had 1 or 2 hours left until it was time to leave for the airport, and the visiting man said, "I would like to take this truck and look at some scenery." So the two men left their wives at home, and they jumped in the truck, and they took this well-equipped truck up a mountain trail. They followed a trail that the GPS said would loop back onto itself, and their plan was they would do this little loop, and they'd be back home in time to go to the airport. Well, as they proceeded on this trail, they came to a locked gate. And, well, that didn't quite, wasn't what they were looking for, but as they were turning around, they noticed that another trail that kind of went around this locked gate, and they assumed it would reconnect them to the loop and to the original starting point. So they took that trail. However, soon they found themselves descending a very steep trail full of washouts and slippery mud. The trail continued to descend and jogged around until they came to a stream running full of water from recent rains. They could see the trail continued on the other side of the stream, and they were fairly certain they could not go back the way they had come, so through the stream they went. The water walled up to the side windows and flooded over the hood. No problem, the truck was made for this. So through the stream they went and continued on the trail. Soon things changed. It became obvious this forest trail had not been used for many years. Remember that gate? It was overgrown and nearly impassable. Their nice rental truck was being raked by branches and trees, effectively leaving long scratches and scrapes on the perfect shiny paint. What could they do now? They were appalled by their situation. Time to leave for the airport was fast approaching. They were nowhere close to home. On they went, until finally, at some point, they came to a fallen tree across the trail, and they had no option to continue on. That was it. Now, by this time, they were praying. And they said, "Lord, we are so foolish. We know we don't deserve help, but please, Lord, would you deliver us out of our foolishness?" They had no phone service and had now missed the flight at the airport. The cost of their mistake was adding up by the minute. The only option they had was to put the truck in reverse and start backing. And so they backed through the same brush, scraping the truck on the same branches, only the other direction this time. They backed up for most of a mile till they could turn around, and they proceeded to drive through the same creek. Then with much prayer, they spun up the mountain trail, throwing gravel and mud, teetering on the edges of washouts and gullies. Thankfully and prayerfully, they reached the top of the trail and eventually returned home to deal with the terrible consequences of the wrong road. Gradualism is a slippery slope. It produces actions which result in consequences. And friends, tonight you can choose your road, but you cannot choose the consequences. I believe that that story defines gradualism. Things started small. You know, the rental truck, it was a high caliber truck and it was expensive. And that seems innocent enough, you know, but it was a want and not a need. I think, friends, tonight that we need to be careful that we don't follow our wants. Our wants can take us down a road of gradualism. The small thing of looking at scenery, that's innocent enough. We all like to look at scenery. We've looked at scenery while we're here this week. They were exploring. And exploring in life in an aimless way can be a gradual experience that takes us down the wrong road. Then there was a small thing of the locked gate. and just bypassing the lock gate and using that side trail seemed like a small thing and innocent enough. But bypassing a locked gate may be a step in the wrong direction. I believe that this true life story illustrates small wrong choices gradually lead to disaster. As I return to the prodigal son tonight, how did he end up in the gutter of sin? I don't believe it was just one big old step. I don't believe he was a good boy one day and the next day he ran away from home. I don't think it was that way. As I just read into this story, and I trust that's okay to do that, but there's little things that could have possibly played into how that boy ended up walking out that lane and crushing his mommy and daddy's heart. Little things like attitudes. Like, if we have this attitude, you know what? It's just not a big deal. It doesn't matter. A careless attitude. It's such a little thing, but it can be a little thing that inches away from holiness. Little things like selfishness. We live in a me age. And for the prodigal, it was all about me. It didn't matter what mom or dad or brother said. It didn't matter what happened to the farm. It's about me and about what me wants and how me feels. Little things like wrong thinking. You know, mom and dad are so fussy. They're so critical. The bishop is so... I don't know what to say. Unmovable. Whatever. And it's only their opinion. One time can't hurt anything, really. It's not sin. It wasn't sin to rent that truck. Little things like a little deception. Like the prodigal had deception in his own heart, and it can seem like such a little thing. He believed the devil's lies, and then finally he believed his own lies. He told himself that I can take this wrong road and it'll end up right. And he was wrong. He was deceived. You cannot, friends, you cannot take the wrong road and end up right. It's impossible. A little deception will take us there. How about us tonight? The truck story isn't ours. We don't own that story. But what is our story? What is my screen time today compared to what it used to be? Have I slid into movies and entertainment? Have I just gradually got there somehow? Have I gradually somehow got the wrong music? Have I gradually somehow entered into unhealthy relationships, even though they're just virtual? Have I somehow slid into wasting a lot of my time? Have I somehow graduated into flirting? Have I graduated away from reading this book? And have I replaced that with reading it on the screen? And you're saying, you're really old-fashioned, Delmer. I know I am, and I'm going to stick with it. Friends, tonight, if you have graduated away from reading this book to reading it on your screen, go back. There are way, if you're serious. I understand about grabbing a verse on the run, whatever. But if you're serious about getting God's word into your heart, get it out of the book. There are way too many distractions. Have you graduated there? have my friendships slid and sidestepped into relationships that are pulling me into wrong directions? Has my work gradually consuming more and more of me? Tonight, I want to encourage you with two roads that are right. We've talked about the wrong road of gradualism. Tonight, I want to encourage you with two roads that are right. One is the road of repentance. If you are here tonight and the Spirit of God has convicted you of gradualism in your life, God has provided for you a road of repentance. You can do a U-turn. God says, I want you to do U-turn. You can come back to the highway of holiness. It brings you up out of the miry clay and sets your foot on a rock to stay. It is the road of repentance. And David knew all about it, and I love to read the Psalms. He said, I will confess my iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sin. He repented. It's a road to repentance. And he went on to say, God, cleanse me, wash me, clean me up, restore unto me the joy of the Lord. God gives us a road of repentance that turns us around. It gets us back on the right path. The second right road that I want to encourage you with tonight is the highway of holiness. My friend, tonight, if you are on the highway of holiness and you are walking, you are moving, and you're not sidestepping, stay there. Look up to Jesus. Stay focused and stay on that highway of holiness. Stay in the middle of the road. Stay in the middle of the middle of the middle of the road, and don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Stay in the middle of the road. There are no great men and women, but there are women and men that serve a great God. And those men and women are on the highway of holiness. Stay in the middle of the road. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you have provided for us a highway of holiness and a way out. And we rejoice in that tonight, God. And I, for all of those that are here tonight that are in the middle of the middle of the middle of the road, I pray a blessing that they would be rejoicing tonight, singing the songs of Zion. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that are convicted by your Spirit and by your word that they have edged away and the wrong road of gradualism has been a path that they're on, and you've convicted them tonight, I pray, God, that your Spirit would draw them to yourself. While your eyes are closed tonight, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. If God has spoken to your heart tonight and you'd like to acknowledge that as I close in prayer, I give you opportunity. If God has spoken, just raise your hand.